political commentator Jackson Hinkle will debate former anti-establishment media host Alex Jones of Venezuela. Former establishment. Now, there's a battle of establishments. There's a battle of different political systems now that the old globalist order is falling. I am pro-America, pro-sovereignty. So we're going to be having a discussion with Jackson Hinkle coming up. But finishing up, Dr. Kirk Elliott, I read the news articles. I see the volume in gold and silver sales. There will come a time, obviously, when you do the silver conversion over to gold, but I still think that's a ways off. Let's briefly talk about gold right now and explain that to people, because I've had family and others that have bought silver from you, and they're like, okay, well, what do we do? And I'm like, well, I would take all the profit you've made on the silver the last few years. That way you're protected, and I would just put all that into buying more silver. And then I think it's a sure bet already, but then it's totally sure, because then you've just taken your profit and bought more silver, so you're protected. I mean, that's kind of my provincial way of doing it. What would you call that strategy?
A good one. I mean, literally, when you look at silver and gold, neither one of them are bad, right? They're both fantastic. Gold was up 65% last year, silver up 147%. So when I look at that, silver is more than doubling the rate of growth of gold. More than doubling, and that's going to continue on for a bit. But ultimately, it's like, hey, if it doubles the rate of growth of gold, and it's been doing that for a while, what do? We sell it, and we take those profits, roll it into gold. What did I just do? I got you almost twice as many ounces of gold then as what I could have purchased for you on day one.
Sure, but why not just keep putting it in silver? Because like you said, you do the ratio. How much more is silver undervalued for what it should be?
It should be thousands of dollars an ounce, literally.
Sure, but the ratio of what gold is undervalued versus silver, isn't it like 15 to 1 or something?
Yeah. So 3 months ago, it was about 90 to 1. Now it's at 56 to 1. It's like, oh, good grief. Historically, we're going to get down to 30 to 1, meaning it takes 30 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. So as we approach that ratio, at some point, you are going to bottom out. Silver slows its growth, it just gets overheated, and then you go into gold as the ratio goes in the other direction. Now, why would you go into gold? Nothing goes up
industrially forever. You're the expert. There's such over demand and lack of ability to mine it. I don't see it stalling, actually.
Yeah, I mean, look at silver. Should be $1,124 an ounce. Gold should be $12,631.
Sure, all the new technology only wants silver more. So even all the industries admit it's only getting more insane. You predicted the Pentagon would move into the actual mining and smelting. Now that's happening. I don't even see how that happens, because they've got to have it for all the computers.
They have to, and they're running out. This is where the price goes astronomical through the ceiling. So people may not want to actually roll into gold, but most of my clients are going to say, you know what? I want to take this overheated asset and go into gold, let it overheat for a while. Then you can go back.
So it'd probably be smart to hedge your bet then, to do a partial conversion to gold.
Yeah, because the ratios go from time to time. They both grow. Like from the early 2000s, I was in gold. From 07 to 11, I was in silver. From 11 to 20, we were in gold. From 20 until now, we're in silver. Because there's times when they go faster than the other. We just want to be in the right place at the right time. This is what I will help people do. And now that central banks across the world, Alex, gold has overtaken the U.S. dollar. It's overtaken everything as the number one held asset by central banks. I mean, the time for tangible assets is now, because people have lost trust and confidence in everything. That's where we are.
Dr. Elliott, people should call you 720-605-3900, or they're crazy. 720-605-3900. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.
Traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWar.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
System of the Rockefellers and Rothschilds is dead. The new tripolar world is being born. And into that vacuum, the United States of America is reasserting the Monroe Doctrine in our hemisphere and doing what all great nations and citizens have done, reasserting itself. And that's why it's coming out of Beijing, it's coming out of Moscow, that they privately like what Trump's doing, even though they're cutting him off and taking Venezuela so they can't have that oil and project power in our hemisphere, because China has its hemisphere, Russia has its, just like Trump says we shouldn't be on the Russian border. NATO doesn't even have any reason to exist. That's the real politique of what's happening. And I know that Jackson Hinkle has spent a lot of time in Venezuela and been, you know, honored there by the president in their Congress. We have video of it. And I agree with a lot of things Jackson Hinkle overall says about issues. I don't agree with communism. I'm not a Stalinist. He's been here in studio before and, you know, giving me, you know, communist, you know, coins from the Stalin Center and the rest of it. He's a, you know, American, smart guy. But I disagree with where his conclusions lead, though he does make a lot of good points that help us think. Jackson Hinkle is a political commentator and host of Legitimate Targets on YouTube. And you can also find him on X. But I like how he put this out. I say that sarcastically. Breaking, American political commentator Jackson Hinkle will debate former anti-establishment media host Alex Jones on Venezuela. Well, former anti-establishment. Well, which establishment? I'm against the globalists, the UN, BlackRock, the tyranny of these groups trying to take my liberties, trying to literally cut our children's genitals off. Trump's going against all that. Trump's secured our border. Trump's bringing our jobs back. Trump's exercising American power. Sorry if the Russians and Chinese get pushed out of our hemisphere. But that's what they're doing in their areas. So let's just get down to reality about that. This isn't neoconism. This is a return of America. Now, do I support this? Do I think it's a quagmire? Do I think it may go bad? Yeah. I don't think we should invade Venezuela, Cuba, any of that. But President Trump is making his move. I understand why he's doing it. I understand the thinking behind it. But there's a misrepresentation of what I've said, that I'm cheerleading this, and I think it's a great idea. No, I'm explaining why Trump's doing it, why he thinks it's right, and I'm saying it's a wild gamble. So far, it's gone okay. Like, I was against bombing Iran's nuclear sites. I said, Israel, come back now and want you to hit all their missile sites. And now that's happening. I'm totally against that. We need to put pressure on Trump not to. But am I going to say I'm done with Trump and I'm not going to support him now and all the rest? This is the Democrats want a regime change. They criticized Trump for not supporting full regime change against Maduro in his last administration. They're hypocrites. Look at this. New York Times. How labeling cartel terrorists could hurt the U.S. economy. This is when he was president-elect. They said, we're laundering the money. British intelligence set up all the big money laundering operations in the Caribbean. Going back 300 years, they're with the opium trade. They're the main dealers. Trump is cutting that off. And Venezuela is the center base of projecting that. Yeah, the drugs don't mainly come out of there, but it's the organized hub with Cuban intelligence. And then Mexico is subservient to that. Now, Jackson Hinkle could disagree with me and say what he wants about that, but this isn't about stealing their oil. It's about denying the oil to China. And you can then say, well, that's wrong. Well, China's coming in and taking control of the Panama Canal that we built. Trump's now pushing them out. But I guess Hinkle thinks that's better. Well, then what's going to happen in this multipolar world under Trump's leadership is we're going to have a war. And it's not going to be over in Ukraine. It's going to be here. Because Trump's put out his national security policy. And I've had Victor Boot on and Alexander Dugin and all of them. They said they don't totally agree with it, but at least it's transparent and real. So with Trump, you know what you've got. All right, I just talked for 5 minutes. You've got the floor to give your any counter responses you want. But that's a one-dimensional thing to say, former anti-establishment. I do what I think's right. I'm pragmatic about this. I'm just covering the facts. I don't get money from Trump. I don't get money from you know, some foundation. I am simply calling it like I see it. America had been sold out. China had been given all our jobs by the globalists. China double-crossed the globalists. And then now, the last minute, we're clawing back some of our sovereignty. And if we don't do that, then the United States is going to lose dollar supremacy and the country's going to collapse. And so I'm sorry, I'm an American, and I see the necessity of just tacitly supporting what Trump's doing. So Jackson Hinkle, thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me. I got to say, first of all, I was not the person that wrote that former anti-establishment tweet. It goes without saying, Alex, we've done plenty of work together in the past. You've been on my show, I've been on your show, and I have a great respect for the things you've done for our country long before I was even, walking and talking. So that goes without saying. But as for Venezuela, yes, I do believe that we have a big disagreement here. The truth of the matter is that this does not benefit the American people in any way, shape, or form. The only people who are going to benefit from this operation are BlackRock, the shareholders of ExxonMobil, and the rich cronies who got kicked out of Venezuela by the anti-corruption measures instilled by Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro, who ended up in Doral, Florida, and have now been trying to drag our country into countless wars from Cuba to Colombia to Venezuela to Nicaragua and wherever else. I am an American patriot. My country, my family came here on the Mayflower, right? I don't see this as being within line of the American tradition of building our nation up while maintaining peace across the world. I'm not supportive of sending young American boys to go get blown up by IEDs placed by Venezuelan and Colombian guerrillas on the roads of Caracas. And the only way that we're going to be able to nation build and establish some sort of a control of the Venezuelan oil sector that I guess wouldn't have been achieved otherwise through negotiations, which Maduro was very open to. Maduro said many times that he's open to U.S. companies operating in Venezuela. He said, I hope Chevron can be given a 100-year lease to operate in this country. The only way that's going to happen is through U.S. occupation. Trump is already threatening secondary strikes. Marco Rubio talked about that. Marco Rubio's talked about occupation on multiple interviews. And the Venezuelan people are vehemently opposed. I know you've posted several videos claiming to show that the Venezuelan people support what's going on, but these are the only videos that I saw posted on your feed.
Let me be 100% clear, not to interrupt you. I woke up Saturday morning, saw videos saying it was it. It was from years ago, but also anti-Maduro protest. And I posted those, and I admitted that they were old, and I was wrong. So I make mistakes.
This yes, you admitted the Maduro one in Venezuela. This one right here, this was 2 years ago. I was in Caracas at that time, but this was all funded by the USAID National Endowment for Democracy during the Biden era. You posted another video from Chile and another video from the FIFA World Cup celebration in 2022 in Argentina. The Venezuelan people, anyone can go look at my Twitter account. They are holding rallies all across the country in support of Maduro, because I think everyone understands the simple principle that if a foreign nation comes into your country, regardless of whether you like your president or not, and they say, we're going to kidnap your president, and then we're going to take control of your oil, your gas, your minerals, your gold. We're going to send ExxonMobil, BlackRock, the Rothschilds, and so on and so forth into the country to seize control of all of this. The people are not going to support it wherever they stand on the issue. So that's my basic stance here.
Sure. Well, I get up in the morning. It's all the front of X. Here they are demonstrating. It's a morning shot. I put it up. And then I did see some small demonstrations, and later it was like, no, that's old. And I was like, okay, it was a mistake. I was just posting what other people had. That said, now we know people do go try to go out and demonstrate that are pro-regime change. And are you saying the articles about the motorcycle gangs attacking people and killing people, or the armored vehicles, you know, running over protesters in the past, that there's not intimidation of opposition? Are you saying Maduro really won the election a few years ago?
Well, as for motorcycle gangs, the only violent rioters I saw in the streets of Caracas after the highly contested elections back in 2023 or 2 or 4, whenever it was, I think it was 2024, it was the opposition that was being paid by the USAID and National Endowment Democracy Biden regime. They were paying these people to go out. I know plenty of opposition people in Venezuela that hate Maduro, but they say, we don't want to be a part of that. We don't want to be a part of this Zionist regime, Maria Corina Machado giving her the Nobel Peace Prize. It's all a big World Bank stunt to try and seize Venezuela's sovereign assets. And that's why even the opposition in Venezuela, they don't support what Maria Corina Machado and these people are saying. They're talking about peaceful bombing of Venezuela. They're sending letters to Benjamin Netanyahu saying, please invade and liberate Venezuela. 90% of Venezuelans oppose any sort of foreign intervention.
Well, let's expand on that. The current president, who was the vice president, supposedly working with Trump, she said this is a Zionist plot. I'm not saying Israel's not involved. I'm not saying they don't want Hezbollah and Hamas to have a base. I think mainly it's about resources and power and in this hemisphere. But I mean, how much of it is Israel? Obviously, but she's saying that. So can you flesh that out?
Well, Maria Corina Machado's Marco Rubio's pick to, lead the country after the Maduro regime is gone. And the Maduro regime is not gone. Delcy Rodriguez, the vice president, is in charge. And the Minister of Interior, Minister of Defense, all these key officials are still there. Maria Corina Machado has an actual, joint agreement with the Likud party in Israel, Netanyahu's party. She wrote a letter to Netanyahu saying, please come and invade and liberate our country. The reason why Israel is simply interested in this is because they understand that they need the U.S.'s backing, Trump's backing, to start a new war on Iran. If a new prolonged war on Iran happens, which Netanyahu wants, and frankly, I don't know if Trump wants, I don't think he wants that. But if that does happen, what's going to happen is Iran will shut down the Strait of Hormuz, which will bring all global oil shipping to a screeching halt.
And they've already passed a law to do that the minute they're attacked. So let me ask you this then. What do you make of Trump when they brought up the lady the globalists want, who markedly is aligned with Israel completely? He said, no, she's not respected. We don't support her. What do you make of that?
I don't think Trump has a plan. I mean, what is the plan? The plan now is to try and weaken the Venezuelan state, which is still in the hands of the Maduro government and Maduro's party. And what are they going to do? They can't just send in one lady into Venezuela and just prop her up. I mean, probably very bad things would happen to her because she's been championing these attacks, which resulted in 80 people getting killed in Venezuela. I don't understand why any American Christians or Catholics are supporting this. There was 80 people killed, 40 civilians killed, roughly. We don't have the exact numbers yet, but they have no plan. The plan was to take Maduro out, and just like there was no plan in Iraq, what happened in Iraq? Bush goes to the U.S. aircraft carrier 6 weeks after the operation starts and says, mission accomplished. We all know how that ended. It did not end in six weeks.
Well, let's be 100% clear. It has been misrepresented. You haven't done that. That I didn't say this couldn't turn into something 10 times worse in Vietnam. It's been misrepresented that I said, do it. I said, I know why Trump wants to do it. I think he has the authority to do it under past policies and things, Monroe Doctrine and gunboat diplomacy, and before that, the Barbary situation. But I said, though, that the rolling the dice regardless, is too dangerous. He can't trust the CIA to not sabotage it. And now it looks like it's going sideways with the militias taking over, who are refusing one way or another. So I think you could pretty much say Venezuela is in a civil war now.
No, Venezuela, I talked to some people there today, high-level people, normals, civilians as well, not involved in government, and it's very stable right now. Everything is extremely stable. I talked to people from all across the country. There are rallies going on in support of Maduro, yes, but I mean, there's no rallies I've seen anywhere or have heard of anywhere in the country supporting this Trump operation to kidnap Maduro. And I think the main contradiction that you and I face on this is that it is the globalist plot to take over Venezuela. That is the globalist plot. That's why, former U.S. ambassador to Venezuela, Mr. Shapiro, tried to assassinate Hugo Chavez when Hugo Chavez was nationalizing the oil and the resources. That's why they tried to assassinate President Maduro back in 2019, I believe it was. They've tried various coup attempts led by the CIA under Democratic administrations and Republican administrations, but it's always backed by the deep state. Bolton, Pompeo, Tillerson, these sorts of guys. Marjorie Taylor Greene opposes this. Thomas Massie opposes it. The patriotic wing of MAGA opposes it, but Lindsey Graham and the others all support it. And frankly, that's all it's about. It's about a money-grabbing operation to steal the God-given potential of the people of Venezuela, who chose to develop in a sovereign manner, chose to make their own friends across the world, and steal their assets for shareholders of the largest banks and multinational corporations on the face of the earth.
Well, let me ask you this. Where do you think different scenarios this is headed?
Well, I can tell you one thing. Whoever's saying that, and I know it wasn't you, it was someone that came on your show, but whoever's saying that this is possibly, you know, an operation to get Maduro to admit that Venezuela was behind the rigging of the elections and whatnot, that's a non-starter. It's a common misconception that Venezuela has, you know, corrupt elections. And the last elections were actually pretty close in Venezuela. Venezuela has their own election system that they produce. They have an independent election monitoring organization. They have voter ID. They have thumbprint verification. They have signature verification. We have none of that in the U.S. They have electronic ballots and paper ballots, which are all double counted in front of all the political parties. And all the paper ballots have to match the electronic ballots and the thumbprint and the ID.
Well, that's a whole other debate, but I disagree with you on that. We've seen there were all sorts of issues and people trying to bring the receipts and getting arrested. Are you denying that the regime arrests political opposition and things like that?
Well, of course, when opposition is calling for airstrikes on the civilians of the people, yes, they'll get arrested. I mean, if you had a U.S. congressman that was out there advocating that Russia should airstrike central Ohio and kill a bunch of civilians, and then they did it, what do we really think would happen? That person would be arrested and probably tried for treason. And if they celebrated it after the fact, of course.
Well, let's talk big picture. There's a New York Times article, and I don't usually agree with them, but how the Monroe Doctrine, meaning Trump-Monroe Doctrine, reinforces Xi's vision of power in Asia. I've read a lot of the Russian publications are like, they talked about a behind-the-scenes deal that hasn't been inked, but okay, you have your area, we have ours. And then the UN says, they're all the rules-based order. Well, the EU, the globalists, they're the most corrupt. They have no power. China's not working with them anymore. So that old order's over. So what's supposed to happen with China, Russia, and the U.S.? I mean, you know, it is the U.S. because Russia's going to project power in its region. China's going to do it in his, in theirs. And so, quite frankly, I am saying go to a tripolar world, and you've got Russia promoting family values, all the rest of it, Xi getting off the one-child policy. I mean, I think that's great compared to the UN BlackRock world government. I mean, I don't see this actually as good for the globalists at the end of the day.
I'll address that in one second. One thing I want to mention is that it just occurred to me that Juan Guaido, of course, was never arrested in Venezuela, and he took $52 million from the CIA and sold out Venezuela's most prized foreign asset, Citgo, the gas company that every American probably knows. Took $50 million. The Venezuelan government actually sent troops to protect him when he was doing these stupid CIA stunts in Venezuela and near the border. Maria Corina Machado also was not arrested, for what it's worth, and Edmundo Gonzalez was not arrested during the elections either. But as for your point about the Monroe Doctrine, as they're calling it, one thing we should all remember is that the Monroe Doctrine, you know, it gets a bad rap in history, because the truth about the Monroe Doctrine was that it said that Europe needs to stay out of Latin America, out of the Western Hemisphere, right? But it explicitly stated that if Europe stayed out of the Western Hemisphere, that the U.S. would also stay out of Central and Southern America. It wasn't until Roosevelt came in with what is called the Roosevelt Corollary to the Monroe Doctrine, in which the United States government said, oh, yeah, and by the way, because we are in the Western Hemisphere, we get to,
No, you're right. It really is the people. Teddy Roosevelt Corollary. You know your history.
In the, yeah, that's when they started to say, you know, we're going to steal all your assets. We're going to, treat you like slaves and cattle in Latin America. So,
well, that's the beginning really of gunboat diplomacy. Well, his issue was building the Panama Canal and all the rest of that stuff.
Well, I'll say one more thing about the matter. People are oftentimes comparing this Venezuela operation to what Russia's doing or what China's doing. They're saying China poses a threat in the Western Hemisphere. We should make no mistake about it that every single people, every single country have a sovereign right, a God-given right to choose who they want to be friends with and who they don't want to be friends with. If the CIA has been assassinating and targeting and planning coup plots against the leaders of Venezuela for decades and decades on end, and putting in military junta governments and dictatorships in Venezuela and all across Latin America, maybe it shouldn't be a surprise to us that they want to do business with China and Russia instead. That being said, China has achieved everything that they've done, the trade routes, the shipping partners, the import-export trade that they're doing all across the world, beating the U.S. in many countries without firing a single bullet, without firing a single missile. Why can't the United States do it? We can do it, but we choose this demonic path of ripping presidents and their wives out of their beds in the middle of the night and slaughtering 80 Catholic civilians. I can't get behind this in any way, shape, or form. We should do win-win cooperation. We should be pragmatic business people. We should not be, killing people.
Well, I wanted to get you on your perspective. And overall, I'm against regime change. I've been against all of these because they work for U.S. interest. I've seen the evidence of Smartmatic and China and the manipulation. I mean, I've been on there 30-something years, and for at least 27 years, when this, I had these voting experts on, but nobody was talking about Venezuela. And, the idea that Venezuela isn't this big clandestine crossroads with Cuba. We'll come back and talk about that. Cuban intelligence. Why is it Cubans protecting Maduro? If he's so popular, why wouldn't it be his own military and police? But more importantly, I want to get your take on where this is going, because I do think it's dangerous. Trump's trying to talk about hitting Colombia, hitting Mexico, hitting Cuba. I mean, this is definitely getting out of control. Regardless, we'll be right back with Jackson Hinkle. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula and you like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. and it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Look, Jackson Hinkle accurately predicted back in December, we have the video, that Trump would hit Venezuela. I said it a year and a half ago before he even got back in, because Trump does what he says he's going to do. Now, you can agree with it, you can disagree with it. What I want Americans to know is that certainly the Black Rocks and the globalists, with whatever happened, are going to try to come in and exploit. But the deals I've seen financially that Trump does really do help the people on average. But because it is a quagmire, because it is going to be a civil war, this is going to be a big domestic political problem if Trump can't somehow stabilize this and pull out. A lot of people are upset that they're, you know, have the vice president now in there. And I think Trump's hedging his bets so he can negotiate. If he doesn't get the deal he wants, I think he's going to wisely pull back. But we're going to see what's going to happen there. But here's the larger picture. The Council on Foreign Relations, the leftovers of the British Empire, the globalists, literally passed laws and regulations where you couldn't have rare earth minerals here, you couldn't build, you couldn't smelt. They transferred everything to China, and then the middlemen globalists made all the money. And then about 18 years ago, Xi Jinping double-crossed the globalists, which I would do too, you know, and it just laughed at them, and they have no power, other than they can manipulate us into war with Russia. So that's the big thing to stop. But just like Russia went into Ukraine because foreign powers were coming in there to control their sphere of influence, I, in academic level, understand Trump's thinking. The difference is you can't trust the CIA and these big corporations around it who will either get what they want or sabotage it. And so that's what I actually said. People then take that and say, oh, look, he just endorsed it. No. Only way I know how to explain things is my thinking on it, because it's complex, okay? And so that's where we're at. And I saw Maduro saying, we'll make these deals, we'll work with you, we'll do all this. I had a bunch of guests on, including General Flynn, who said, no, we should do that deal. But then that didn't happen. Now you see Flynn's like, okay, great job, because we're not throwing Trump out with the bathwater, okay, because of all the other issues. And again, bottom line, we are an empire. We were sold out by globalists. Now we're jerking it back at the last minute. I want to phase back into a republic and, yeah, hemispherically be strong and project power through business. We need to end the globalist empire, which is already over, really. But then you have to expect as a negotiation point that Trump's going to flex some muscles here at the end of this. Or the country's gone. I mean, the CFR, all the big think tanks, the Hoover Institute, you know, the all of them had predicted the end of the country by now, okay? So I'm living here. I mean, I know what it's going to mean with our debt and our problems if we don't negotiate a better deal. I mean, it is going to be a hellhole. So this is really just self-preservation. I understand what Trump's doing. It's very pragmatic, but so I want him to succeed. But at the same time, I understand that it's all bad options. And by the way, it's bad for China. It's bad for Russia. The whole world, the debt, the population, the globalists killing development, manipulating things, stealing money for so long with their predatory system of feudalism that wants to keep you poor by design. Corporate fascism is really what it is. That we're so screwed up, there's not a lot of paths out of this other than a tripolar world with its own satellites. And then once that shakes up, stabilizing, moving out of a military economy, once those systems are secure, and then moving into innovation, development, and the rest of it, because of the AI race and everything else, though, because nobody trusts each other, that's not going to happen. And so I just see bad to worse futures for everybody. I'm not going to lie to anybody. And I see Trump desperately trying to do the right things for the economy here, and people just not getting it. So that's where we're at. Jackson Hinkle, your take on this and where you think this is all going. And is there any way to, what would you do if you were Trump and you're an American to extricate out of this?
Well, I'd put, first of all, the globalist pawns who schemed up this harebrained, stupid, demonic plan in jail where they belong. I'd imagine that's probably Rubio. I'd imagine that's people like the friends of John Bolton. Maybe I doubt Trump and, well, Trump and him definitely don't talk anymore. But John Bolton was gunning for this whole thing in the first Trump administration. We need to focus on America. And Alex, that's where you and I fully agree. Why is it? Just think about this. Why have we arrested the president of Venezuela, but we've arrested no one from the Soros family, from the Pelosi family, the criminals from the 2008 financial crisis, from the COVID, all the tyranny that was imposed upon us and the lies that were sold us, from Russiagate, no one's been arrested, from the Ukraine corruption, no one's been arrested. Why are we not talk about drugs? Drugs are an issue in America. Why are we not arresting the people responsible for the fentanyl crisis in our country? Instead, they have their names on giant placards above universities and libraries all across the United States. It's the Sackler family. What are we doing here? We need to focus on America, and that starts with real pragmatic leadership. That starts with, focusing on our own issues. Look at, people keep saying China's a threat. Well, China doesn't, they have like one foreign military base. China is not bombing seven different countries, and they're not supporting their supposed best ally that spies on them all the time, and who is also bombing seven countries, which is what we are doing with Israel. We need to focus on real leadership. And Alex, the last thing I'll say right now is when I spoke with Maduro in Caracas during the presidential elections, I asked him a question. I was just genuinely curious because, you know, the leftists in America, you know, these liberal leftists that are all Trotskyites in actuality, none of them are actual leftists. They're all like a bunch of Dick Cheneys. But I asked President Maduro, I said, President Maduro, you know, they tried to assassinate you during the first Trump administration. They tried to invade Venezuela. Personally, I believe that was the deep state. I think Trump really didn't know what was going on. And the evidence has come out through the Silver Corps story that actually he didn't know what was going on. Key figures around him did. I said, could you see a future where you are friends with President Trump and you two work together? He said, of course. He gave a very long speech about how much he loved the American people, how he hopes to work together with Trump, that he wanted to have a phone call with Trump. Trump agreed to it. And then Bolton and Pompeo blocked the phone call from happening in the first administration. And lastly, at the end of his speech, he said, God bless the people of the United States. This guy's not a criminal. We need to focus on the real criminals at home.
We know the different factions. The Democrats all criticize Trump for not doing regime change. We have the clips. You make a really good point, though. Where are the indictments of the deep state? Where are the indictments of the people that stole the elections? Here we know. That's what the American people really want to see. I understand Trump wanting to put $18 trillion on our balance sheet to prop up the dollar because we're in so much trouble. I mean, I get the pragmaticness of that because this country goes down, folks, it causes a global depression. Everybody's going to go down. And I think the rest of the world should get out of the way and understand that. But at the same time, I mean, this is a desperate situation. What are you expecting the traps are and what's going to happen if Trump gets sucked in to the militias, not letting there be election? It becomes a political quagmire, and then now he's got the pressure to double down and send in troops to something that all the experts I've talked to will make Vietnam look like a walk in the park.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, couldn't have said it better myself. It'll look like Vietnam, make Vietnam look like a walk in the park if the U.S. tries to do an occupation of Venezuela. And really, if the U.S. wants all of the oil, all of the gold, all of the minerals in Venezuela, right? That's what they are going to get. There's no way to get all of it if you're going to be greedy without an occupation. And there are guerrilla forces in Venezuela and the jungles of Venezuela and Colombia who've been fighting against the U.S. and Colombian, former Colombian government for 60 years. Okay, this is not an easy terrain to fight in. These are people who know how to fight. They're skilled at guerrilla warfare. This is not something we should entertain. We know for a fact that the people's militia in Venezuela is 2 million strong. They're armed to the teeth. Right before Maduro left, he was handing out AKs and rifles left and right, teaching these people, you know, the basics of how to shoot a gun, right? And the basic training. The Venezuela military, obviously active duty, has 350,000, and in reserves, it has far more. And this is going to be an absolute... Listen, this is what I got to say. If the U.S. does an occupation, it pains me to say this because I don't support any American boys or girls dying in another pointless war for ExxonMobil, for the banksters, for the Rothschilds. But if that does happen, go long on the stock of the company that produces caskets for U.S. soldiers, right? Because that's what we're going to see a whole lot of being produced if this happens.
All right, I want to shift gears out of Venezuela. Final comments on that. But let's talk about the Ukraine war. It's something I agree with you on.
Very good.
That's very clear. And then the EU so desperate, needing saying they need the war, and where all that goes from all your sources. Anything else on Venezuela?
Anything else on Venezuela? This is, as I mentioned, it's a war for the petrodollar. It's a war for ExxonMobil and these major multinational corporations. The Rothschilds are very happy about it. And to put it quite simply, we can achieve everything we want to achieve as a country without killing people all across the world, without toppling governments all across the world. I'm not saying we need to be China. We need to have our freedom of speech. We need to have our right to bear arms in this country. But how can they have such success all across the world without doing what the U.S. is doing? And frankly, the U.S. is in decline. So maybe it's not working out so well for us.
It's crazy. And, you know, Trump's like, don't worry, the oil companies will pay for it. And then now he's already moved and said, well, the U.S. may reimburse oil companies for rebuilding Venezuela's infrastructure. So things are changing very quickly. It's just, I mean, Colombia president rages, come get me, I'm waiting, in a huge taunt to Trump. Colombian president ready to take up arms. Civil war fears explode. Heavily armed militias take over Caracas streets. And the militias have said, we don't care what the government does. We're not going to do this. So it'd be easy for the military to take over main infrastructure government buildings, but then the militias just forever will sit there and pot shot anybody trying to drill an oil well, anybody driving a truck. It's just guaranteed stepping into a bear trap.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, it's not going to be good in any way, shape, or form. These people know how to fight. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, and I know what Rubio would say. He'd say, well, we got to embargo oil to Cuba. We're not going to let them ship anything out of the country. And so, the government will do what we say. But those militias, you know, that are out there, you know, literally for generations doing this, they're not going to go away.
Look, I want to make one last point. And this was something I saw you bring up on social media with Glenn Beck. I know he's not here to defend himself, so I'm not going to, you know, say anything rude. I'm just going to point out simple statistical flaws in his argument about what he was saying about Venezuela and keep it respectful. He was saying that essentially China would collapse without the Venezuelan oil. How will China be able to power itself in the future? China consumes 17 million barrels of oil per day. They only get about 400,000 to 500,000 barrels per day of oil from Venezuela. That means it makes up about 2.9%.
But in fairness to Beck, he was saying if Iran falls too.
Well, China only gets 9% of its oil from Iran. And the reason why China works with Iran and with Venezuela is because they have security agreements with these countries. They have oil for loan programs.
Sure,
with
so
these
as long
countries.
As China has Russia, it's not going to have an oil problem.
Correct.
What do they get, like 70% from Russia or something?
They get a great deal. I don't know what the exact breakdown is, but China's not just a country that's confined to these anti-U.S. states. I mean, they have many friends all across the world, even countries that are close with the U.S., closer with the U.S. In fact, Venezuela's top export partner is the United States still, if you can believe it, because Chevron accounts for about 30% of daily oil
sure,
output.
So shifting
still.
Gears, let's move to Ukraine. Zelensky, NATO, the Northern Group, never wants a deal. Trump more and more is cutting intelligence and funding to it. Russia continues to advance. Where do you see that going?
Trump needs to he needs to take out the trash in the deep state. What is going on where the CIA is still providing location information for these Ukrainian drone attacks on Russian vessels in around Crimea? Allegedly, they also provided the intelligence location sharing information needed for the attack, the drone attack, 91 drones targeting Putin's home in Novgorod while he was in Novgorod. Trump was surprised, shocked, and horrified by this. And big questions need to be answered at the CIA. Big questions need to be answered at the State Department regarding the absolute failure. I mean, we have to rely on Kushner, Witkoff, because the State Department are a bunch of globalist deep state hacks. So this can be solved 100%, right? And it starts with all that. It starts with holding these people accountable and removing the fat from the steak. And most importantly, it starts with getting rid of Zelensky. We need elections in Ukraine. And Zelensky can go live in Tel Aviv, wherever he wants to go, like his other corrupt buddies. But Russia right now is advancing on all fronts. Ukraine did not have a big counteroffensive this year. They had no counteroffensive. It's the first summer Ukraine did not have a counteroffensive. Russia is advancing big time in the south towards Zaporizhia city. And what does Russia have to lose by simply just continuing the operation as it's going? I mean, of course, you know, people are dying and that's horrific and it needs to stop. But if no one in the West is willing to do what needs to be done to actually achieve peace, then I don't see what other options there are for the Russians.
So Europe has said they want a 20-year conventional war. They believe Russia will never use nukes. But NATO's talked about striking first Russia. I've talked to a lot of high-level Russians on air, and they've said Putin's got a plan to encircle Kharkiv and Kiev and give him a few weeks to get out before he levels it. And if this continues much longer, that's what Russia's going to do. I hope that doesn't happen because NATO might use that as an excuse to try to manipulate us into full war. But this is definitely all coming to a head.
Well, I'm sure you've seen the reports. You were probably the first person to report on them. But about France and the UK talking about preparing their hospitals for mass casualty events, especially military hospitals, mass casualty events. We all see where this is going. They want to drag Trump out until his term expires and he's gone And then they'll have someone else that they can usher in. You know, they'll try to usher in Gavin Newsom or someone like that, a blank slate on foreign policy that they can turn into their weapon against Russia, probably against China, too. They'll probably just take us to war everywhere. We'll do proxy wars in Africa.
NATO head said this is going to be bigger than World War II. Get ready a month ago. I mean, they're officially want to go to full war with Russia.
I who's going to be fighting that war? That's the question that they should think of first, because I can't think of anyone, any Gen Z, Gen A, as the time comes and approaches for, you know, Gen A to become of that military age. I don't think any of them are going to care one bit about Putin.
I've seen polls in Germany, 80+% of military age people say they're not going to follow conscription and will flee the country.
Exactly. Because everyone knows how it's going to go. Who really listening to this says, yeah, I would love to stop what I'm doing and go fight these like giant Russian guys in the middle of a frozen forest while drones are being launched at me every 5 minutes. That's not something anyone wants to do. And no sane person would support it, whether they're going to serve or not, because we all know, as you've been warning about, as many others have been warning about, that this is what's going to lead to World War III, nuclear annihilation. And for anyone who thinks that Russia's Dan Crenshaw, Russia is a gas station with nukes, buddy, they got a military and they've got things even more advanced than nukes. They have hypersonic missiles that are nuclear capable with small nuclear engines that can be fired at a moment's notice, stay in the air for 3 months. It has AI detection, can evade any sort of air defense in the world. It's called the Budapest missile. And there's nothing that the U.S. can do to stop that. Even if we nuke all of Russia, they could still press a button 3 months later. That missile would land wherever it wants to land.
And the West has a bunch of stuff like that, too. The point is it will all kill each other. And people say, well, that's not going to happen. If you study history, this happens over and over again. This is insanity. We're coming to the end of an era. There's got to be a way out of this. And the globalists want to continue their plan and make us get in war with Russia. I think Trump's trying to flex muscles and just say, no, this is our area. You can have your area. So I think in the larger scale of things, that's why China and Russia have been signaling, you know, that whatever happens here, they're not going to go to war with the U.S. over this, as long as we don't go to war with them. What do you think China's going to do with Taiwan?
Well, according to the One China policy, Taiwan is but one part of China and Beijing is the sole government. That's the official policy that the United States upholds, that the UK, Australia, France, Japan, even everyone upholds that policy. So for the United States to be providing $11 billion arms deals to Taiwan, the CIA has been training separatists in Taiwan since the first Trump administration, maybe since the Obama administration, actually. I'm not sure about when it began. This is a non-starter for the Chinese. This is their sphere of influence. And the difference between when the United States intervenes in a Chinese sphere of influence versus when China is intervening in a U.S. or sphere of influence, the Western Hemisphere, for example, China is not placing nuclear bombs in Venezuela. The United States was trying to place nuclear bombs in Ukraine when Kamala Harris took Zelensky to the NATO meeting in Vilnius or wherever it was. China says, we'll do business with these countries, but the U.S. is training separatists there. 85% of the people in Taiwan say, we support the status quo, which is effective Beijing leadership over Taiwan. So if China has their way, it is going to be a gradual uniting of these people through increased trade, technology sharing, so on and so forth. If the U.S. gets their way, there will be a war in the near term, maybe 2027, 2028. And that is what the deep states want. Again, Bolton, Pompeo, Lindsey Graham, Dan Crenshaw, all these people want war with China. But no one wants to fight a war with China in the United States. You know, you go to any college, tell them who wants to go fight a war against China. No one's going to want to do that. Okay, China is not our enemy. These are very pragmatic people. We should do business with them. We should not go to war.
It's going to be conventional at first. We need, but China, it's all going to be robots and jets and weapons. So they're trying to maneuver us into the insanity. When I saw this headline earlier, I didn't believe it, but I have the clip, and it's a meandering Trump talking about both sides of it, but I can see the interpretation of Trump talking about canceling the elections. I don't think that was his intent, but still, the Democrats have put this talking point out so much that Trump responded to it. Trump in bizarre cancel elections rant as he warns, I will be impeached. And so he says, well, they say I'm going to cancel the election, so maybe we should cancel the elections. I mean, this is just going to really blow up big. Here's the club.
The worst president, did the worst job, they had the worst policy. How we have to even run against these people. Now, I won't say cancel the election. They should cancel the election because the fake news will say, he wants the elections canceled. He's a dictator. They always call me a dictator. Nobody's worse than Obama and the people that surrounded Biden. Not Biden. I don't think it was Biden. He didn't know what the hell was going on, okay? The election was rigged. He had no idea what happened. He still doesn't.
Let's hear that one more time. I don't hear him say cancel the election. He says basically they say I am, so maybe we should cancel it. It's just a joke, but see, it's just they're going to take that out of context. Here it is again.
The worst president, did the worst job. They had the worst policy. How we have to even run against these people. Now, I won't say cancel the election. They should cancel the election because the fake news will say, he wants the elections canceled. He's a dictator. They always call me a dictator. Nobody's worse than Obama and the people that surrounded Biden. Not Biden. I don't think it was Biden. He didn't know what the hell was going on, okay? The election was rigged. He had no idea what happened. He still doesn't.
I say that quote is unclear. I think Trump needs to clarify. What do you think, Jackson Hinkle?
I don't think he said that. I spent the last hour critiquing Trump. I actually don't think he said that. I think that liberals are just like brain dead, kind of, and they have no way of sparsing reality in any sort of objective manner. So everything that they hear is, you know, some great threat, the greatest threat of their life. Meanwhile, what they should really be doing is working with Americans across all sections of, you know, the political compass, if you will, to build a better future.
I agree. Do 5 more minutes with us. In 2 minutes, we come back. Put bookends on this. Add any other points, other issues you'd like. We've got you on X at Jackson Hinkle. Where else can people find Jackson Hinkle? YouTube?
YouTube now, yes. Jackson Hinkle Official and Legitimate Targets with Jackson Hinkle. 2 shows.
All right, back in 2 minutes for closing comments from you. Then I'm going to get into something that is amazing. I mean, I'm telling you, you want to hear this information. A book in 1997 nailed everything that's now unfolded. I've never seen something so accurate. Even way more accurate than me. Tomorrow's news today. Straight ahead. Stay with us. So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 3 posters I designed, 2 I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before their hatch. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.